Case is 06-2265, Kelly Mendenhall et al. Versus the City of Akron. We have two recusals on this case. Justice O'Connor has recused, and we have sitting in place of Justice O'Connor, Judge Matthew McFarland, a judge sitting in the 4th Appellate District, and Justice O'Donnell is also recused, and we have sitting in place of Justice O'Donnell, Judge William Klatt, judge of the 10th District Court of Appeals. Mr. Mendenhall, is that right?
Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the court. This case began for me late at night in my kitchen. My wife was opening up the mail, and she opened up this strange letter with a picture of her vehicle and the driver blacked out that arrived, and it said that a traffic violation had occurred somewhere about 30 days previously. And looking at the letter and examining it, my wife simply could not remember driving at the location or at the time that the violation was sent. The location happens to be suspiciously close to a McDonald's, and my father-in-law often takes the kids down to a McDonald's to have a treat. So there was some thought in our family that my father-in-law may have been driving. The reason I give that particular background is that my wife was very upset by this. She didn't understand the ticket, she'd never seen it, and she asked me to examine it, and I am no expert at traffic law. I looked at it and immediately I noticed that it was not a uniform traffic ticket, which I certainly was familiar with. And the question that the court has to face today is whether or not municipalities are exceeding their home rule powers that are established by Article 18, Section 3 by imposing civil penalties on vehicle owners. When the drivers are violating a traffic signal or speeding, when both of those violations of laws are defined as criminal offenses under the Ohio Code. And now I've altered the question a little bit, but I think it means the same thing. I think the answer to that question is the same. And the answer is that these municipalities are exceeding their power. Article 18, Section 3 grants cities the power of local self-government, and this is not about that power. And it also grants local police power, so long as that police power is not in conflict with the general laws. So the home rule power is limited, and it's limited by general laws. There are several arguments that I saw in the briefs by the amici and the cities to support the existence of these traffic control devices. First of all, I think that they are saying that this is an additive scheme, that this enforcement against owners, not drivers, adds to the enforcement mechanisms of state law. That it adds a tool to deal with a local problem.
Is a government body not permitted to impose liability on owners for conduct of persons that use or work under them or borrow or whatever?
Sure, that would be a respondeat superior argument. And I think there's another argument that is kind of similar but is very odd in this
Well, for
aspect.
Example, we just had a case involving a bar owner liable for the acts of an employee selling drugs, even if they had no knowledge that the employee was selling drugs.
I think.
How is that different from giving your car to somebody having no knowledge of their traffic violations, but being responsible for the fact that you gave them the car to use?
Your Honor, I think state law already addresses that. You know, if we give our vehicles to somebody who we know does not have a license or who is going to go commit a criminal act with that vehicle, We're partly responsible for that as owners of the vehicles. But I don't think that my wife would be happy with me going through one of these passing one of these devices and getting one of these tickets just because I drove her car.
What does your wife think about the facts that seem to be in the record that where cameras are mounted on these intersections, that the incidence of accidents at those intersections substantially decreases?
Well, I think that's an interesting argument. I don't think that that is squarely before the court. There are safety studies about these cameras that show also that they increase accidents. So it works both ways. There are studies on both sides of this. I don't think that's a settled question. So, and I don't think that the issue about safety is before the court. I think the issue about how the home rule power is before the court.
But is it not before us in terms of our deference to a legislative body to make decisions about the safety, health, and welfare of their residents?
I think that the deference is certainly due to the state legislature and the General Assembly. They state very clearly that this shall be that the traffic code contained in Chapter 45 as a whole, not pieces and parts as I've seen split out in some of the briefs, but as a whole, is there, and essentially they have a statement of intent that they're going to preempt the field. Since the 20s and the Schneiderman case, traffic laws have been seen as general laws of the state of Ohio. The state legislature is very concerned about safety in school zones, safety in our roads, and it is also very concerned about uniformity and the need to not have a patchwork quilt of enforcement and processes that people can't understand from one community to another.
What does that mean then, that a city may not have an ordinance that prevents, or there's some consequence for leaving your car parked in a busy intersection or parked for some period of time that's against the law, so the city can take it and put it impounded somehow? That could, would the state law cover that? That would be in violation also.
That is correct. The state law does cover that. That is, I believe, covered under 49.11.07. The state law throughout the Chapter 45 specifically addresses where cities can have an impact. 45.11.07 certainly addresses the flow of traffic on streets, the processions, things like that. Your Honor, if I may take a second, I want to clarify something. I do have counsel for the SIPE plaintiffs here, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't take up more than 8 minutes of my time, because I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for Mr. Dalianis and 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Counsel, would it be a fair statement with respect to the scheme of traffic laws in this state that you have the statewide uniform traffic statutes enacted by the General Assembly, and then you have local ordinances which mirror the state statutes, and so apparently for revenue purposes more than anything else, if you commit a traffic violation within a municipality, you may get cited under the local ordinance instead of the state statute, but it's the same offense.
Well, sure, and I think that the Chapter 45 addresses that, and it specifically allows local ordinances that do mirror the state laws. What it does not allow, though, is a change in the type of law that it is, moving it from a criminal to a civil offense, targeting owners instead of drivers. Those are substantial changes that are not allowed by the state law.
Well, it doesn't eliminate the criminal defense, does it, or offense, does it? It's a civil action, a civil penalty. That seems to me to complement. If the purpose of speeding laws is public safety, then it seems to me the purpose of cameras at an intersection complement that, do they not? If you say there is a dispute about whether accidents really decrease, there is certainly evidence that indicates they are. I mean, it's just almost intuitive without studies that if you're being watched when you go through an intersection, you might not run that red light, or you might operate your vehicle, or the person operating your vehicle might operate at the legal speed, but it doesn't transfer any legal authority, does it? I mean, the city is exercising its civil its authority in a civil way, not affecting the criminal.
Your Honor, I think it absolutely does affect the criminal. What it allows is drivers to be exempt from the point system, exempt from the fine system. It takes revenues that normally go through our municipal courts and runs them through the city, so it changes the revenue stream. It changes the issue. If you go through a school zone twice in a year, there's significantly enhanced penalties for that. Those enhanced penalties no longer apply. It essentially gives the drivers a license.
But they can still sue. They can still file all those criminal actions. And if they file the criminal actions the way I read the statutes, then they can't also assess the civil penalty. So it doesn't protect a client, or your client or anybody from a criminal case. In fact, I would prefer to get charged with a civil one without getting the points. It benefits me not to get the points and not to get the heavier fines.
Your Honor, I think that the state law has clearly preempts the field, though, by making the enforcement criminal and by targeting drivers. And again, I want to get
and
back to that
issue. And what does it preempt?
Issue.
Can your could you still have been charged with a criminal violation if there had been a police officer there?
I think there's a little bit of a conflict in the ordinances. Some of them say that you can. Some of them say that the alternative is if the driver gets a civil or a criminal violation, then there is not a civil penalty. I'm not sure what my time is. I see 4:22 on the clock.
Yeah, that's remaining time.
I'm sorry?
That's the remaining time you have. It's down to 4:16 now. It's
the
remaining of the 15 minutes, right. Mr. Dalianis?
Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the court. My name is Tony Dalianis, and I'm here on behalf of the people that have filed on behalf of the petitioners. If the court checks its own docket, it will see that everybody that filed a brief that was in favor of following the law the way it's been in Ohio since the time of my coming to America, it was all the people's side. If the court looks at the docket regarding everybody that wants this court to find, based on the question that's been affirmed by this court to review that we're bound by, monetary interest sits on that end. It's the cities, it's the local government, and it's also the parties that have filed on behalf of the state government that enact civil violations for something that they never saw.
But counsel, excuse me, isn't there other benefits that are derived? If you look at the record, I mean, it clearly curbs conduct in those intersections, does it not?
We're not disputing that certain items that might be violations of parties' rights might make justice faster. But justice takes time, and as such, it was best explained to me when I was young by Judge Mikas, who since passed away. He explained it to me this way. He stated, there is the federal constitution and the federal law. It is the great white shark. It takes what it wants and is allowed to. Whatever side fish feeds off that great white shark, which is the state law and the state constitution, eats what's left.
So much for the 10th Amendment, I guess, huh?
Later on, I did discover there are other terms that were used, and ultimately he stated what falls to the bottom feeders are left, they can then eat. In this case, the law is clear. Article 18, Section 3, which everybody's bound by, no matter how fast justice might be, if we avoid the fact that you have to have a police officer in a marked cruiser in a marked uniform when it's involving track enforcement. Because let's face it, even a civil proceeding, if it was offered fully, because every one of these cases is quasi-civil, where you have a limited right of appeal, if that's permitted, to a court of common pleas, which does not permit, in that situation, only introduction of the limited record that would be there. The limited appeal right would be there in a civil case, but with the burden of proof not being beyond any reasonable doubt, which is what the General Assembly, in enacting their laws, understood. Under 4511.21, it states specifically that if you are committing a speeding offense, it shall be a minor misdemeanor if it's your first violation. That does not happen here. Shall is non-discretionary. As much as they would like, and myself maybe not in opposition, let's face it, I would love a camera to be around to catch somebody violating a law, which I might not feel right about. But that does not give me the right to skip the entire process. They have a right to enact a law which is not in general conflict with the laws in general state.
Counsel, let me interrupt you there. That's my concern. Can you specifically tell me what is the conflict? Because when I look at the statutes, and the ordinances, it seems that there could be an argument that they're consistent with one another. And when I think of a conflict, I think of something, perhaps the best example would be, at least at our house, the difference between whether we're going to play PlayStation with my 9-year-old or Wii with my 6-year-old. That's a conflict. You can see that. I can determine that conflict. Here, it appears that there may be some consistency among the statutes. Is that correct?
We're not stating that they have powers to police their own street. What we're stating is they can't be in conflict with the General Assembly's passing of their own law. The General Assembly provided them one limited circumstances because it saw. It covered speeding. It said it was a minor misdemeanor specifically, and it covered traffic violations under 4511.12 and stated those are minor misdemeanors regarding running a red lights. They specifically gave them an action to recover under civil damages for parking violations and parking violations only. Anything else other than that, they can't create their own system where they skip people's rights, where they skip people's burdens of proof. If it is a minor misdemeanor offense, Criminal Rule 1 states specifically that the criminal rules apply in every criminal matter. If it is a minor misdemeanor offense, it is criminal. That is the way this court has held ever since I've researched law.
Isn't the due process argument really a separate issue from what's been certified to us? We just certified whether or not there is, in fact, a conflict creating a civil penalty for speeding when the state creates a criminal penalty. But the way they create a civil penalty and the way you enforce a criminal penalty, which are due process concerns, that issue's not really before us today, is it? Under the certified question?
For them to get a civil judgment, it means they would need to go through a process. So it is assumed within the question that for them to be able to enhance civil penalties upon an individual, that one, they went through a process, either the criminal process, which would permit them to enhance the fine and make it larger, or make the time greater, which is not what's happening here. They're not following the law at all. They're not creating a situation where somebody would get points. They're not creating a situation where the clerk of courts, who's mandated by state law as to her requirements, has to do certain things. They have somebody who's not even there. There's no uniformed officer in a marked cruiser. The testimony that convicts in their cases they created in their quasi-civil action, which is not permitted, is the same as that you would give on somebody who is what? An incompetent, mentally challenged individual or a minor who's not able to determine what occurs. And that's the prima facie evidence that they're using in the civil case. So it is my belief they do not have a right to issue a civil violation without creating their own standing to do so. They have nowhere under Ohio law the right to do so.
You've used your time, Mr. Deliens.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fallis.
Good morning. Mr. Chief Justice and members of the court. My name is Steve Fallis. I'm an assistant director of law for the city of Akron. And I would like, if you would permit me, to introduce at council table is attorney Richard Gerbs of Squire Sanders, who represents Nestor Traffic System, also respondents in this case, and my co-counsel, Michael Defebaugh, assistant director of law for the city of Akron. I will be making the entire argument for the city of Akron. This is a matter of utmost importance to all of the cities throughout the state of Ohio. It is important for the safety of our school children and school zones and our citizens generally. But it is important because we are here defending our constitutional right under the Home Rule Amendment that has been in existence for 95 years, and that this court has made determinations on since, I think, the first case being 1923. There are two premises here, either of which we went on. The first premise would be an answer to Judge McFarland's question, and that is, there is no conflict. The second premise is that there is no general law prohibiting photo traffic enforcement that we are in conflict with. In that first premise, in Akron we have section 7320. All of the other cities that are here sitting watching over video or in court have similar ordinances that have the exact same speed limit as the state of Ohio. It is still against the law to speed in the city of Akron. It is still against the law to run a red light in Columbus and Cleveland and Toledo and Dayton and Springfield. There is no conflict. We have the exact same law. We enforce it the exact same way when it is in the criminal process. However, when it is outside the criminal process, when someone has escaped the law, for example, if this is the speeding in school zones in Akron or running of red lights in Dayton, Ohio, and these are the people that are caught, they're charged exactly the same way by a police officer in a marked cruiser, in a uniform, given a standard traffic citation, and cited to the municipal court. And we have not changed that, nor have any of the other cities. On the other hand, the act has still occurred for the rest, those that are outside the criminal process, those that have evaded the law, those that have evaded the criminal law. The act has still occurred. And modern technology has given us the ability to do something about that. We now can do something about that, and we have. We have enforced that civilly by a fine. We've done that against the owner, a different person under different circumstances. And in the second premise, there is no general law that prohibits that. We have not in any way limited, abrogated, changed, converted, or done anything whatsoever to the crime of speeding or running a red light in any of these cities. The law is still the same. It's enforced still the same.
Counsel,
we have different. Yes, sir.
In reality, there is a slight difference. Under all those violations, an individual commits a violation. Under your ordinances, a vehicle commits a violation.
Under our ordinance, Your Honor, the owner is responsible.
But it's the violation.
The fine.
It's the violation of the vehicle that is getting the civil penalty. It's not the violation of a particular person.
We do not charge the operator. That's an evidentiary issue. We would not be able to charge the operator under this circumstance like we do criminally because we don't have an officer there identifying them.
So the penalty goes to the vehicle is cited for running a red light or the vehicle is cited for going too fast down a street.
Yes, sir. The penalty is to the owner, a different person than the operator. And perhaps I can respond this way, Your Honor. I have three grown children. Not too long ago, they were teenagers. And of course, like many of us in that situation, we had a lot of car insurance and cars and things. And I can guarantee you that had I gotten a $100 civil fine because one of my children were driving too fast in a school zone, that wouldn't have happened again, and it wouldn't have been in my car. And there is nothing in the state law that says that the city of Akron cannot enforce its speed law in a civil manner outside of the criminal realm. The interesting that we have before us a rather generic question that Judge Dowd from the United States Federal District Court certified to you about whether a municipality has power under home rule to enact civil penalties for the offense of violating a traffic signal light or the offense of speeding, both of which are criminal offenses under the revised code. I submit that that question presumes within it that we are enacting civil penalties for a criminal, quote, offense. We are not. We have not. We do not. A criminal offense is still a criminal offense. This is outside of the criminal area.
Mr. Daliana seems to argue that this process is really criminal in nature because someone is detected on a camera and someone pays a fine for that or pays a fee or fine, and that looks criminal because the cities obviously don't have an officer to patrol every intersection, and so they use cameras and use the civil process as you explained. What's your response to his argument that I think that's what his argument is, that it seems like this is really criminal conduct that the city is to which the city is assessing a different kind of penalty than the state does?
It is not, Your Honor. as I said previously, I believe would answer Mr. Dalianis's question. It may seem like that to him, but it is only criminal conduct when it's there enforced criminally and an officer is able, through investigation of a bad accident at a red light or viewing somebody and stopping them.
Well, it's criminal
conduct.
That's
when it's criminal.
Isn't it criminal conduct even though it's not detected by an officer?
It is still conduct that violates the speeding limits that we have, and that's what gets us to what is basically this case. It's really this simple, and it's the conflict analysis that this court has repeated over and over for 80-some years. What is the conduct that we are prohibiting? And is it different than the state prohibits? No.
When we look at conflict issues, we often look at what the intent of the legislature is in preempting the local ability to control an issue. What weight do we give to the amendment that exempts rental car agencies and their drivers from this? Do we read any legislative intent into that, or does that have any bearing?
I do not believe it has bearing. No, not to this issue of conflict analysis and the Home Rule Amendment.
Mr. Fallis, if you look at it another way, it's almost as if you're saying the cities have chosen to substitute a different method of criminal traffic enforcement, where instead of having a police officer there writing tickets for people running through the red lights, your city has determined that a camera will be sufficient to prescribe that activity in a civil way and against the driver. I mean, if we look at it that way, that seems to suggest more of a conflict than the discussion we've had previously.
No, Justice Lanzinger. What I'm saying is that we are complementing, as Chief Justice Moyer pointed out earlier, the criminal law. We are not substituting the criminal enforcement. We still have the criminal enforcement.
In that case, though, if you have a situation like that caught on a red light camera and it goes out, are you telling me that you then go after the driver as well?
Absolutely not. If you look at our ordinance, it specifically says that the criminal law takes precedence. We cannot cite civilly if we have cited criminally.
So in a sense, it is a substitute. You're not citing the driver. Instead, you're going against the owner in a civil manner.
It works in harmony with, it complements the criminal law. It's where we cannot and have not enforced the criminal law because there was not an officer there to catch them.
And the only way you're saying that individuals who, as a matter of public policy, believe this should not occur, the only way that could happen is for the General Assembly to outlaw the red light cameras. Is that correct?
Your Honor, we do not derive our power from the General Assembly. We derive our power from the Constitution of the State of Ohio. Prior to 1912, we derived our power from the General Assembly. In 1912, when this amendment was passed by the people of Ohio, it specifically said that we derive our power from the Constitution, not from the General Assembly. There are a line of cases that this court has followed.
Well, then, could you, following up on that, could you put up a camera and impose a civil penalty on any vehicle going more than 10 miles an hour?
Well, that's the key here, Your Honor. This is not Schneiderman versus Sessenstein. We don't have a different speed limit than the state of Ohio. We have the exact same speed limit.
Then you do derive your powers from the state of Ohio.
No, we're not in conflict with them, I'm saying. And we derive our power from the Constitution. However, we are limited by that constitutional amendment. And the limit is that we may not be in conflict with a general law. Petitioners have in their briefs, as well as the amicus briefs, they pointed out all kinds of laws, 45-1106, 45-1107, 45-1125. None of those are general laws. None of those. Columbus v. Moult specifically said...
Would the requirement that traffic can be enforced only by an officer, a uniformed officer in a marked car, is that a general law?
I'm not sure there's a statute that says exactly that. I think there's a statute regarding the admissibility of testimony of a police officer if he's not in uniform in a mark and on duty for traffic. The only general law at issue, Justice Pfeiffer, is 45-11-21. And we agree 45-11-21 is a general law. We agree that it is a police power. And of course, the first test is a matter of local self-government, and if, or is it a matter of police power, sanitary, or similar? If the answer is it's a matter of local self-government, we stop there, and we have the right to regulate. But if it's not a general law, it doesn't matter if we're in conflict.
The statutes that require certain signage to enforce traffic offenses, are those general laws?
No, they are not. I don't think they pass the third and the fourth prong of the Canton test. The third prong of the Canton test is that in order to be a general law, it must set forth police, sanitary, or similar regulations rather than purport only to grant or limit legislative power.
So
that would grant or limit our legislative power.
So you wouldn't have to post the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit signs in a business district. You wouldn't have to do that, and you can still enforce a 25-mile-an-hour limit.
We are in compliance with those laws.
What?
We are in compliance with those laws. You're asking me my opinion as to whether that law is a general law, and I'm saying under the Canton test, it would have to prescribe a police regulation, and perhaps that could be found to be a police regulation rather than limit ours. And it also must prescribe rule of conduct on citizens generally. I'm not sure that telling us how high to put a sign is prescribing a rule of conduct on citizens generally. But in this particular case, there is but one issue, and that issue goes back again and again and again. What is the conduct that we are prohibiting? Is it something the state permits? Has the state permitted something we've prohibited? Absolutely not. We have the exact same limit. We prohibit the same speed that the state does, and there is no other general law that says otherwise that we are in conflict with.
Counselor.
Counsel, the trial judge in the city of Girard obviously did not agree with your argument. Is there a fallacy in the trial judge's analysis, and if so, what is the fallacy?
There is, Your Honor. I see I have 28 seconds. It would probably take me another 15 minutes for me to talk about that Girard case, but very briefly, that was very simply an extremely overbroad interpretation of Betts that has nothing to do with us. In fact, that judge actually misstated the fourth prong of the Canton test when he said it has to apply to citizens generally. That isn't what that test is. It's prescribe rule of conduct on citizens generally. I see my time is up. May it please the court, please allow me to say that we very, very strongly, on behalf of the city of Akron, Nestor Traffic System, and all of the cities in the state of Ohio, ask you to answer the certified question in the affirmative.
Thank you, Mr. Fallis. Mr. Mendenhall, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
You know, it's interesting that we're getting into civil process because I think that there are some processes due, even if it's a civil process, and I would point to the issue of takings. And the process that's due there certainly involves more than simply, oh, did you lease your car to someone else or did someone steal your car, which are the limits of your defenses in Akron. I think the issue that the Auto Dealers Leasing Association brought to the state legislature, exactly the same issues my wife has if I'm driving her car. And there is no logical reason why she shouldn't also be covered by that and be able to say, hey, and sign an affidavit, I wasn't driving. But Akron's law does not allow that.
Mr. Mendenhall, is it problematic for the respondents in this case that they're deriving their authority under a police power, yet they're not stopping the conduct? If it's a regulation of the health, safety, welfare, and morals, they're issuing a civil citation. However, there's no criminal conduct to curb that. Is that problematic in your opinion?
I think that's exactly the problem here, because it's not, it's targeting the vehicle. It's not targeting the driver, and state law specifically wants us to go after the drivers. I want to point out one other thing. These devices are highly fallible. You'll see that in the stipulations. 6,000 citations never got mailed out. There were problems with them. The fact that they say this applies to local people, you'll see this in the stipulations too. 59 people who got them were out of state. They couldn't mail them out to them. These devices, the state law also deals with traffic devices. 4511.11F says the state legislature provides for a means for traffic devices to be tested. There are state manuals that are involved here. There's nothing at all like that. None of these protections at all for these devices.
You've used your time,
Ms. Mendenhall. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Marshal will please adjourn court.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye.